So, I hope that you had a great Christmas. I hope that it was one of those times with your family that you will be able to reflect on in years to come, where you'll be able to say, remember that Christmas of 2015, the crazy warm weather, how we needed shorts and t-shirt and flip-flops instead of sweaters and stuff like that. And as Daniel mentioned on Friday, or on Thursday, we're just wearing sweaters just because you're supposed to during this time of the year, so that's why I'm wearing mine. My wife got it for me, so I'm representing. This is for her. So we are going to do something a little bit different. Like I mentioned on Thursday, kind of off script, we have been going through as a church through 52 weeks of Scripture, but you guys are super spiritual here in Lindale, so we're just giving you guys 51 because you really... No, it's true. So I will not be here next Sunday. I'll be out of pocket, so to speak. And so what I want to do is just kind of prepare you for 2016. I want to encourage you through this. And so on the way out today, as Chris mentioned, as far as the limited amount of these per family, please consider that. But also, please do not leave without one for your family. And so on the table across the commons, there'll be one of these, and this is for the first of the all seven of the series. You're going to have one for each series, but this one will last you through March. And so what you want to do is you want to grab this. It's pretty self-explanatory, but just in case you're like me and don't read instructions and you depend on your wife to do that for you, each week there will be a list of four prompts for the week of things to do. There will also be a written devotional that one of our staff members in Grace has written. And we would just ask that you would, with your family, go through these things. And you will be amazed at the dialogue that you have. Unless you have a baby, then a lot of dribbling's going on. But if you have children that can talk, believe it or not, conversations could happen. We have noticed that even with our little Sammy, who's about to turn four. Some of the things that he has been able to bring to light in our time, even little Advent thing, the Jesse tree, as we did as a family, and the things that he brought. And he's been like our prayer warrior. He wants to pray every time. And so ask me as a pastor if you're upset if your son wants to do that. Not at all. So make sure this. But here's the thing. In 2000, the film The Patriot came out. Anybody remember that? Okay. And there was the character Benjamin Martin and his son Gabriel, and he was teaching him how to shoot. Well, there's a line there with that scene, but also that same line was also in 2014 in the movie American Sniper, where Chris Kyle said the same thing. Aim small, miss small. And so what we want to do, our staff team has gotten together, and we want to help in aiming small. And so this theme, this upcoming year, is trying to help you with your aim, encountering God. What we want to encourage you to do, we've got several things that we're going to do, and we're going to explain them in just a moment, but our desire is to help you aim small, because we want you to ultimately give God glory, and that happens through encountering Him. And when you encounter Him, crazy things happen. Decisions are different. The way that you treat others is different. The way that you see yourself before God is different. And so what we're going to do is just work on as a staff, and this is one of the ways, these booklets, the sermons that we're going to be preaching, the music that's going to go along with it. All these things are a desire for you to help you aim small so that at the end of 2016, hopefully by then, hopefully way before then, you will have encountered God and you will see and be different as a result of it. You see, and so that's the thing. And we're going to look at some of those elements in just a moment. So here's kind of the layout for the year. The first series from January to March will be encountering God in the person of Jesus Christ. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Gospel of Mark for 3 months, all the way leading up to the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And so we're going to be talking through those things. And so basically, January to March, we're going to be going through the Gospel of Mark. You'll know that pretty well. Usually, for some reason, the Gospel of Mark kind of gets pushed to the side. And we really preach Matthew, especially during Christmas, and Luke. And John gets a lot of love. But we're going to be focusing on the Gospel of Mark. Series 2, which will be in the month of April. Our worship team, and this is global, Grace Global, so the worship leader from Grace UB, Grace OJ, and Grace Lindale, they've gotten together and they've written an album using the Psalms of Ascent. And so we're going to be preaching through those things. And so we're really excited about that. So there's going to be an album, a CD that's going to go along with that where you can get it and have the same music. And these guys, we have, I don't know if you know this. I mean, you see what we have on Sundays. We're gifted, okay? Yeah, you can clap for them. And so so these guys have gotten together and they've written songs. And so we're going to have those as a church. And so series two will be encountering God in worship. And then series three will be encountering God through the gospel. We're going to be going through Titus, Philemon, and Jude through the month of May. And then series four throughout the summer is going to be encountering God in personalities. So we're going to do like character studies throughout the summer. We're going to be going through and talking about different people that encountered God, whether on the good side or the bad side. So both ways. I don't know about you, but I vomit quite often. And so I need some hope for people like me. And then series five is encountering God through His grace. And so we're going to be doing a study through the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter there to the church. And then series six is encountering God through His promise. And we're going to do selections through the prophet Isaiah. And then series seven, closing the year out for 2016, is encountering God through Advent. And so we're going to be doing characters that are part of the Advent story. And so this is 2016. So the desires of this series is to help equip you to aim small, to kind of slim the focus. I don't know if you've read any of the ways to help you hit your New Year's resolutions. It's basically being more specific instead of general. It's having fewer than more resolutions. And so our hope is, as a church, from us trying to equip you, to encourage you, is that you encounter God in 2016. And so we want to do our job of preparing you in regards to that. So there's that. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to introduce you to an aim. So Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start off at the last verse we're going to cover, because that's where the aim is found. Verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the aim. So as we sit back and we draw the bow, desiring to hit the target, this is the one we're shooting at. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we're drawing back the bow, and our aim is to pursue to hit that target of giving God glory in everything we do. We want to make sure that it aims at Him. And so starting as we did on Thursday night, we're going to read verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Again, I want to mention this for those of you who weren't here Thursday night. This begins with a conditional clause, if. This giant word, if. If you've been raised with Christ, which means that you identify with what Christ has paid for you in His death and resurrection. If you've been raised with Christ, if you understand what He's purchased for you, and you place your faith and hope in Him. And then it says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And Paul does this really well, because he gives you a premise, and then he kind of rephrases his premise and begins to unfold it in other ways. And here in verse 2, he rephrases it. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And so it kind of makes it simpler. He's like, okay, seek His kingdom, right? But also set your minds on things that are above. Like, there is this temptation that each of us have to kind of lower the standard a little bit. So as a dad, wouldn't it be great if I'm coaching my kids like a sport? So yesterday we came out and played basketball. One of our children, Karis, is going to be playing basketball with little dribblers. And as a dad, all I want to do is just coach her to be average. I just want you to just skate by. With your academics, kids, I want you just to do, just aim for C's. This isn't what a dad would do. And as your pastor and our pastoral staff, we don't want you just to aim for average. We want you to aim for the moon. Not just the moon, but the one who hung it. And so we want you to see this differently. And so many of us, we are so satisfied with average in our walk with Christ. But we're expecting different results. Isn't that crazy? Like, we all want a miracle. We just don't want to do what it takes to get it. And so I want to encourage you just to consider what it's like to seek the things that are above, to set your minds on things that are above, not the things on earth. And this is why Paul would say this, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the reason why. And then verse 3 says hidden, verse 4 says appear. Notice this, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, and nobody who's average with their walk with God would ever say that Christ is their life. They would say, Christ is a part of my life. And that's definitely not what you desire. And so here are a few things, and so that we don't get here and use this as the checklist. I know that when we see lists in Scripture, we tend to like make that check boxes. But what I want us to see here are these are things that tend to happen when you seek Christ, when you encounter God, things change a little bit. And so what Paul does is gives some things that happen. And I want you to see that each of these things in the first section here, starting verse 5, are things to put to death. And these are things that just naturally happen. As you grow closer to light, darkness is exposed and things need to be changed. Verse 5, put to death. Therefore, and this is an active statement. This isn't like passive, it's active. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You ever thought about that when you covet somebody's stuff? You're just idolizing. You're just making an idol out of that stuff or that person. Notice this, verse 6, on account of these things that he's talking about, the wrath of God is coming. And notice Paul's deliberation here in verse 7. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. Notice the tense he makes sure to include there. But now, verse 8, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Now notice, these kind of things sound harsh, but we usually use the soft approach to these things, don't we? Like slander. We wouldn't, you know, consider it that, but a lot of the stuff that we do at the barber shop, which I don't need to go to anymore, but I was there once, or at the hair salon, have to do with slander. Or a lot of times, we do it as Christians, we got our own way of doing it. We usually use a prayer request. Well, I just want to pray for them. I just want to make sure they're lifted up. But really, we're just gossiping and slandering them. And this isn't right. If you've encountered Christ, if you have been raised with him, these are not behaviors that you want to participate in. You wouldn't want to be on the other end of them, that's for sure. Do not lie. Oh, let me stop. Let me pause it. Because I almost forgot one that's kind of fun here. And obscene talk from your mouth. Now this one right here, man, we've got, our obscene talk comes in a variety of ways. And I will tell you this, this is one area where I am weak. And many of us are. We don't think about our words that we're going to be held accountable for. So we just need to be mindful of our speech, that it needs to be filled with grace. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Isn't that crazy? That you've got this new self that you're basically reflecting your creator. And so you don't want to act like you used to act. You want to put on this new self. So lying, and isn't it funny? I do this, man. How many of you today, I'll say, let me widen the gap, in the past week have justified a lie that you told? okay? Don't raise your hand. You're the only honest one. So I'll say that everybody, I won't talk to you anymore, but we do. We justify our, oh, it's just a little white lie. That truth, we needed to cover it up. But you need to understand, we're not dealing with a principle compared to other people. This is against the holiness of God. Compared to you and I mean, we're pretty solid. Like, you may be better than me. Compared to me, you're fine, but it's not compared to me. Keep going here. This is good. Here, speaking of this place, I love this section here because it kind of widens the gap of how we see the gospel. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian. This is like people, you don't understand what they're talking about. That's what Paul's talking, is kind of mumbly people. Usually, if we were to write this currently, it would be people from the South, okay? Hey, I'm from there, so I'm just speaking of what I know. I talked to my brother on the phone the other day. I was like, what are you saying right now? Okay, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And so the neat thing about the gospel, it's not limited to a people group. Isn't that incredible? That the grace of God isn't just for white people, middle class people. The grace of God covers and crosses the gambit. It's not limited to our little pigeonhole that we've kind of done in this region of the country. It's not the way that we kind of do worship here in our style. It's not limited to that. Praise God, it's not limited to that. Continuing, verse 12. So it talks about put to death in the first section. Now we see things to put on. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Compassionate hearts. And I want to tell you something. We, Aaron and I, are raising 6 selfish kids because they have 2 selfish parents. And it is our desire to raise them in a way that they care for other people. And so the other day, true story, so we've got this unique thing we do on Christmas, and we try to make the focus about Jesus, ways that we can basically offer him presents on Christmas. And so we did some silly things. So we did this crazy thing on Christmas where we're giving stuff away, okay? And our kids were like amped up. They made their own Christmas cards. And let me just tell you, my kids are not great at spelling because we taught them to be average. And they're not great at artwork yet. But they gave these Christmas cards they made away. And it was so neat to see their heart when the people who received them took them. It was incredible. And so we did a little debrief afterwards. So we're talking like, isn't it crazy? And so this is at supper time, Christmas Day. Isn't it great that we can love people this way? These people that we don't even know. We don't know their story, if they've been good or bad, mean or nice. We don't know anything about them. Isn't it great that we can do that with them? And then I said, who's the hardest people to love? And they got it. Karis, who's our instigator, says, my brothers and my sisters. When we encounter Christ, what happens is we begin to have compassionate hearts. We see each other as we want to be seen. So we show kindness. And instead of pride, humility, meekness, and patience, that thing your grandma told you never to pray for. But man, that ingredient in a marriage is like gold, isn't it? Bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. What a crazy idea. Forgiving each other. Why? As the Lord has forgiven you. When you realize how much you've been forgiven, you want to give that same gift to somebody else. You don't want to keep that. You want to give it away when you realize how much you've received it. And I love this. And above all these elements of things to put on, and basically Paul is writing this as a list of garments to wear. And above all these, put on love. Put on love. Now, this isn't just like physical affection or gift giving. This is love is patient, love is kind, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. This is the kind of love that isn't in control of the object that's receiving the love. That's different. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ, I love that phrase, peace of Christ, Christ who would endure the cross, become resurrected. Now, when it says Christ here, it's speaking of the exalted, not just Jesus who suffered, but the exalted. When it uses the word in the text, Christ, it's speaking of the Messiah, the anointed one. So his peace of enduring all the suffering, on top of the suffering, where he's able to see the big picture of all things, where he is at peace, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And notice again it says, and be thankful. Let me just tell you, gratitude is a crazy thing. So do this. Next time you are worried, are anxious about a specific thing, or want to be negative Nancy, next time that's your MO, go directly to gratitude. There was this old hymn I remember in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church my stepmom went to. Count your blessings, name them one by one, right? What would happen if the things that we're worried about or concerned about, we went straight to gratitude and said, God, you have provided for me this way. God, you have shown yourself faithful and true here. I have an incredible wife, far greater than I could ever deserve. I have kids, believe it or not, and there's so many people that just want to be parents. Lord, you have blessed me. I have an opportunity to use the gifts you've given me, and I can list them over and over again. And you could too. You have so many things to be grateful for. And notice here, when you encounter Christ, when this takes place, all of a sudden, gratitude. Now, verse 16 gets fun. Okay, you guys ready for some entertainment? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So, wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. There it is again, in your hearts to God. Can you imagine what your conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are part of the church, would be like if instead, and this is, again, I'm indicting Lewis here because of my little football team that I pull for. If your conversations were less about peripheral, marginal things and more about eternal things, and you can encourage brothers or sisters with the truth of God's word and build them towards that end. And by the way, when you do that, you are being part of making disciples. I would rather make a disciple of Jesus than I would of a football team. Because I could give you all the convincing things about my football team and their coach and all the silly things they do, but I would rather give you something that's eternal. I could talk for hours about movies, but I would rather that you know Jesus because it's eternal and disciple you with those truths. And so all of a sudden, we see that once we encounter Christ, things begin to be altered. Our conversations begin to be altered. The way we see one another is altered. And so what I want to encourage you to do is, with me, let's begin to aim small this year. Let's aim small. Let's aim at encountering Christ, encountering him and all that he is and all that he's done for us. Let's encounter him. And what's going to happen is there are going to be things in our lives that are put to death, that we just do away with. And then there are things we're going to put on, garments that are different in the way that we encounter other people and encourage them. Our speech will be different. Our engagements and time will be spent differently. And then he closes, and whatever. Now, I remember in high school, whenever you said whatever to somebody, that meant, or as we would say today, it is what it is. Back then, it would say whatever. And whatever you do, in word or deed, pretty much encompasses everything. In word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it all in his name. If you would be embarrassed about putting your name on it, don't even consider putting his name on it. so that we would live lives that reflect Him and His name and what He's done for us. Everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks three times in this text to God the Father through Him. So, this is really good if you're at the first verse. Remember, do you remember? I'm talking like a barbarian. Do you remember the first verse? I told you, I'm from the South. If you've been raised with Christ. Now, I am very aware that some of you have not identified with what Christ has done for you. I get that. And you're hearing these things, you know, and I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher to you. But I want you to know this, that 11:01 every day for the past month and a half, and it's going to go on, that our staff has been praying that we would be able to encourage you so that you understand what Christ has done for you. That we are seeking God's face so that each of you, whether you don't know the Lord or whether you do, would be able to see and believe and encounter God for all that He is.